Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Are there gray areas for Christians? Or is everything black and white, cut and dry? Can something be okay for me, but not okay for you? How can you tell right from wrong if it's not spelled out in black and white? Or if it's really holy in red letters? Well, believe it or not, this is not just a 21st century problem. Today we will look at some guidelines for sorting out right and wrong in an ever-changing and often confusing world. I have spent over 50 years immersed in church culture. For some reason, folks like to make rules for themselves and for others. These rules vary as widely as their physical appearance and the accent when they speak. The real problem arises when someone makes a rule for me that I don't particularly agree with. Here are some guidelines to help sort these rules out. There is a hierarchy that, if understood, can clear up a lot of issues that are often anything but clear. First, the overriding moral code that governs everything else is love. Someone asked Jesus, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the great and foremost command. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets." Now to the Jews, the law and the prophets was the ultimate authority. It meant the entire Old Testament. Jesus told them that all of it hung on one word, love. Paul elaborates on this in Romans 13. "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for the one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." I always find it amusing that Paul would say, "and if there is any other commandment." He was an expert in the law. I doubt that there was any commandment that he was unfamiliar with. All of them were summed up in love your neighbor. James takes a backdoor approach by saying, "If you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as violators. For whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a violator of the law." In other words, all sin is a violation of the royal law, love. Long before Moses and the written law, love existed. Before Abraham and the Jewish religion, there was love. The Bible says God is love. Love has existed as long as God has existed. Love is always there. Without religion or written word, love is still the rule. So how do we define love? The word love is agape. Theologians call it disinterested benevolence. In other words, there's nothing in it for me. In the modern language, we say unconditional love or no strings attached. Unger's Bible Dictionary says, "Love is the highest motive or grounds for moral actions. As all sin roots itself in selfishness, so all virtue springs out of love." Vine's Expository Dictionary says, Love can only be known from the actions it prompts. Love seeks the welfare of all. C.S. Lewis summed it up nicely. Love is unselfishly choosing for another's highest good. The next stage of moral code is biblical absolute. The Bible speaks in detail about morality. Perhaps the most well-known structure of right and wrong, shoulds and oughts, is the Ten Commandments. Can you name them? I'll give you a minute. 1. You shall have no other gods before me. 2. You shall make no graven image. 3. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. 4. Keep the Sabbath day holy. 5. Honor your father and your mother. 6. You shall not commit murder. 7. You shall not commit adultery. 8. You shall not steal. 9. You shall not bear false witness. 10. You shall not covet. Well, how did you do? Better still, how do you do it keeping them? A few quick thoughts about each one of these commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. There is only one God with a capital G, but there are other gods with a small g. Satan is called the god of this world. 1 Corinthians 8 says, "There is no god but one, for even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is only one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him." You shall make no graven image. For years I heard Protestants take pot shots at the Catholic Church for their statues. Then, the first time I visited Washington, D.C., I went to the Bureau of Engraving, where they print money, and I had a revelation. Our whole society worships graven images, dollar bills. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Again, I always thought this meant cussing. Now I know that it includes doing or saying something and attaching God's reputation to it. Greed, hatred, pride, politics, and war are all things people practice in the name of God. This is taking his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Episode 74, Work Part 3, Sabbath Rest, goes into detail about this. Honor your father and your mother. None of us have perfect parents, but we need to honor them no matter how flawed they are. You shall not murder. Killing in the line of duty by a soldier or a law enforcement officer is not murder if it is done lawfully. Self-defense is not murder. Even manslaughter is not murder. And like every other moral issue, motive is what determines right and wrong. You shall not commit adultery. Growing up, I was taught that adultery involved married people and fornication involved single people. That's not accurate. God called Israel an adulteress because she worshipped other gods. Adultery is having a double bond, and a single person can be guilty of this as well. Fornication has to do with buying and selling. It is the word pornos, where we get the word pornography. Esau was called a fornicator because he sold his birthright in order to gratify his hunger, something that should not be sold. Married couples make deals with each other all the time using sex. You shall not steal. Fudging on your taxes, borrowing office supplies from work, sneaking into an event that charges a fee, taking anything that is not yours is stealing. Malachi even says we rob God by not tithing properly. Episode 73, Work Part 2, is all about tithing. You shall not bear false witness. This isn't just about lying. It is lying to destroy the reputation and character of someone else. The New Testament warns us about gossip, slander, and backbiting. They are dangerous sins. You shall not covet. Coveting must be the most universal sin. A poor man and a rich man can be equally guilty of coveting. In Romans 7, Paul says, I would have not known about sin except through the law. I would have not known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Of all the commandments, for that matter, of everything in the law, he uses coveting as an example, and I think it's because everyone can relate to that. These are things that are biblical absolutes. They apply to you and me and everyone else. They are always true. They apply to all of us. There are other biblical absolutes. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. That one is non-negotiable. It's absolute. Romans says, whatever is not of faith is sin. It also says, faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. Hebrews says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. The need for faith is a biblical absolute. So is it possible to keep the written law and not do it in love? Well, just look at the Pharisees. Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and they got angry with him. They brought a woman caught in adultery, and he refused to stone her as required by the law. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These are things you should have done without neglecting the others. In fact, Jesus raised the bar above the written law when he said, you have heard, you shall not murder. But I say, do not be angry. Do not call your brother worthless or a fool. You have heard, you shall not commit adultery. But I say, do not lust after a woman. You have heard, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy. And so on. Those are all selfish acts of the heart. The written law must be in submission to the royal law, love. Next in line are community standards. Every community has rules, written and unwritten, but always understood within that community. These include dress code, diet, entertainment, worship style, etc. These vary from denominational differences, cultural customs, family traditions, and more. Paul tells the church at Corinth, to the Jews I am a Jew, and to those without the law I became as one without the law. I have become all things to all people. And all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all things for the glory of God. Love seeks the profit of others. Love seeks to edify others. Love seeks to glorify God. It is always important to know the community standards and respect them. In some churches, I can wear a pair of shorts and a Hawaiian shirt. In others, I need to wear a coat and tie. When I go on a missions trip, I eat whatever is set before me. Some churches have choirs, organs, and hymnals. Others have bands that sound like U2 with fog machines and young people dancing in the aisle. I join in worship with all of them, whatever the style is. But most importantly, I must respect their community standards and do it with love. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to charity, and I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good. Finally, we all have personal convictions about things. Romans chapter 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 8 go into detail about these things, like people who eat only vegetables and people who eat all things, people who value one day over another, and people who value every day as the same. By the way, Paul says, "It is the one with the weaker faith who cannot eat meat." Paul says, "I know that nothing is unclean of itself. But to the one who thinks something is unclean, to that person it is unclean. Concerning eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world." He is clear about principles concerning these differences. First, he says, don't judge others who have freedom where you do not. Second, he says, do not cause someone else to stumble with your freedom. Be fully convinced in your own mind. Do not violate your own conscience. And finally, keep your personal convictions between yourself and God. I know many who believe drinking alcohol is a sin. They try to work around Paul telling Timothy to take a little wine by saying it was unfermented grape juice. Well, the same word for wine Paul encourages Timothy to drink in chapter 5 is the wine he says deacons must not be addicted to in chapter 3. Yeah, I've seen people addicted to fruit juice. It's not pretty. Even more problematic is Jesus' first miracle, turning water into wine at a wedding. The head waiter said, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when the guests are drunk, then he serves the poorer. But you have kept the good wine until now." Good wine is aged, it's fermented. Even drunk wedding guests would know that it was only grape juice. Looking at it from another angle, Colossians says, "Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food and drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are only a shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Take care that no one keeps defrauding you of your prize by delighting in humility and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding firmly to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you are living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance to the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which do have the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and humility and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence." By the way, the reason they are of no value against the flesh is that they are rooted in pride, which is flesh. As I said, we all have personal convictions, but they are between me and God. They must not violate community standards. They must be in submission to biblical absolutes, and they must be kept with a motivation of love. So, yes, there are biblical absolutes that are non-negotiable, but there are also gray areas that we must carefully and prayerfully navigate. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you want to go to a ball game and have a hot dog and a beer, that is up to you. But don't sneak into the game without paying. And if your friend is a vegan, or even just a health nut, don't offer him a hot dog. And don't drink so much beer that you can't drive home unimpaired. And don't judge others because they have freedom that you don't share. Whatever you do, do it in faith. Whatever you do, glorify God. And above all, whatever you do, do it with a motivation of love. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.